Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
Well, Jesus came into the world to change the whole thing, to transform and restore all of us so we could be redeemed and made holy. The Bible's full of change. If the Bible's about anything, it's about people who changed, were changed, and at some point had to take the very first step to change. See, change isn't easy, but I tell you this, it's impossible if you never get started. And most people don't change simply because they don't start. But the prudent, well, they're willing to change. Seek the prudent path or you will walk a painful path.
Seek the prudent path or you will walk the painful path. Today, Pastor Pete will continue to encourage listeners to walk prudently and not to be afraid of change if you haven't walked that way to this point. Change can be hard, and many run from it, but the entire Christian life is centered on the idea of change. If your life needs more prudence, embrace the changes that may be required to live in such a way. God has promised to provide for our needs if we simply devote our entire life to Him. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Proverbs chapter 12 as he continues part two of his message, The Prudent Path.
An American family spends 27% of their income, their family's income, paying the minimum and the interest on their non-mortgage debt. Over a quarter of their income is just to pay for interest and the minimum payments they have to on all their non-mortgage debt. But we just keep spending and spending and spending like it's no problem at all. And you know what? When it finally overwhelms us, we think, man, you know, if I could go back 5 years or 10 years, or man, if I could go back to when I was 20 and start again, I wouldn't have taken all that debt on. I wouldn't have signed up for that. I wouldn't have gotten a new car every 3 years. Now, I would have done it completely different. Remember what my instructor said? A wise man does at the beginning what a fool does at the end. I can't tell you how many young people I've met that say something like this to me. Well, Pastor, if I knew he was going to get me pregnant, I would have never moved in with him. Now, a prudent person could perceive that when you move in with somebody before you're married and you sleep with them on a regular basis, you might just end up having a baby. These are not mysteries of the universe. Or I hear young people say, well, she's not a Christian, Pastor, but boy, she's good looking. Or he doesn't treat me well, he treats me like trash, but you know how much money his family has? You see, a prudent person isn't impressed by those things. A prudent person doesn't fall into those traps. They do at the beginning what the fool does at the end. They say, bye-bye, see you later. See, if we want to be prudent people and have a positive outcome and walk a positive path toward a destination in our future, we have to have the ability to realistically perceive what we're looking at, to realistically perceive the path we're on. Proverbs 4:26 says, carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. But you've got to carefully consider them. Have you carefully considered the path you're currently on? If you seriously and realistically and carefully considered the path you're on right now, would you say it's the path of prudence? Is it going to take you to the destination you want to go to? There's a warning offered in Proverbs 5. Says essentially the same thing, but in a different way. It says this in verse 6, she doesn't consider the path of life. She doesn't know that her ways are unstable because she hasn't considered them carefully. See, when we fail to consider and ponder and perceive realistically the path that we're on and where it's going, we're on unstable ground. The prudent consider their paths, they evaluate them realistically, and then they decide what to do about it. The prudent person is able to realistically perceive the danger on any path. Seek the prudent path, or I promise you, you will walk down a painful path. Number two, here's the second thing the prudent are able to do. The prudent pivot. They have the ability to change. They have the ability and the discipline to pivot when needed. Seeing is important, but you can't be prudent if you don't have the ability to pivot when the time comes. There are many people who can see the danger, but they just continue to walk down the path. Doesn't make you prudent if you see it and identify it. It's not enough. You have to also be able to pivot once you've seen it. You see, you're not prudent because you see it. You're prudent because you see it and then you do something about it. But the ability to change is tough. Nobody wants to change. Change is hard. That's why pivoting is a mark of a prudent person. Not everybody does it. Those who aren't prudent never change. The ability to say it's time to go around, it's time to change course, it's time to change path, it's time to call this one off, that's a pivot. Proverbs 27:12, the prudent sees danger and hides himself. He did something about it. But the simple, what do? They go on and they suffer for it. The prudent hide themselves. Other translations say they take cover. They don't just see it, they do something about it. Because they know if they don't, they will suffer for it. It's been my personal experience, and probably yours as well, that the further down the wrong path you go, the more painful it becomes to get off that path. It's better to get off of it early. It would have been way better for me to call that approach off early than to just barely get over the top of the hangers, wouldn't you agree? That would have been much more prudent. And that's why I'm telling you, the prudent person, the prudent people of this world have the ability not just to perceive the danger, but then to pivot and do something about it. Proverbs 10:17, the one who follows instruction is on the path to life, but the one who rejects correction, the one who won't change, goes astray. In other words, if you don't change something, surprise, surprise, nothing changes. Proverbs 15 says this, discipline is harsh for the one who leaves the path. The one who hates correction will die. You see, if you leave the path of prudence, the path of holiness, the path of righteousness, the path that God has marked out for you, if you leave that path, pain is ahead. If you can't accept and apply correction, if you can't pivot in your life, you're going to crash and burn. It's only a matter of time. I hate to imagine what would have happened on that day at that airport had I waited 2 more seconds to cram in the power. I don't think I'd be here today. I really don't. It was that close. And that wasn't out of an abundance of prudence in my life. That was my instructor screaming because he didn't want to die that day. If I wouldn't have changed directions, if we wouldn't have changed paths, if I wouldn't have pivoted and said, it's time to go around, I wouldn't even be here. But let's be honest, changing is hard, isn't it? That's why nobody wants to do it. That's why nobody wants to change. Change takes time. Change makes you uncomfortable. Change is always difficult. You can always come up with a long list of reasons not to change, can't you? Anytime I got to change something in my life, I can come up with a whole long list of reasons why I shouldn't. It's easy to make a list like that. I'm going to give you 3 reasons why most people never change, won't change. 3 reasons why whatever it is in your life right now, you know you need to change, you haven't already changed. The first one is this, because changing means you have to start somewhere. It means you have to do something. It means you have to start somewhere. And this is the main reason why most people don't change is because they don't start. You see, you have to start if you're going to change. You have to start if you're going to pivot. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is there has to be a day when you walk into the gym for the first time. There has to be a day where you walk into the small group study for the first time. I know it's hard. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it makes you feel out of place. I know you're scared and you have to control your anxiety. I get it. But there comes a time when if you're going to change, you've just got to start. You've got to do it, right? I've had so many men over the years tell me, you know, I want to pray for my family. I want to pray at the table. I want to lead my family in prayer. I don't know how to do it. And I don't want to sound silly, and I don't want to sound dumb, and I don't want to sound like I don't know what I'm doing. Well, can I just tell you, Dad, Grandpa, there's just going to have to come a time when you just do the first one. You just got to start. You just got to do it. If you never start, nothing's ever going to change. There has to be that first month where you sit down and make a budget. There has to be a month where you say, you know what, we're going to live within our means. And we're going to start right here, and it's going to be painful, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to mean I don't get to do all the cool things I wanted to do. But if I'm going to change my direction, I've got to start. There has to be that day where you put the bottle down. There has to be that day where you put the cigarettes up and you don't go back to them. If you don't start, it's never going to change. There has to be that time where you sit down and you say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to write a 10% tithe check. I've never done that before in my life, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to tithe 10% from here on out. There has to be the first one. There was a first one for me. I mean, it's old hat now. I don't even think about it. It's even all automated in my life. But it wasn't like that always. There was a first one. You have to start. You have to make a solid commitment to be in church every Sunday, not just when it's convenient for you and there's nothing else on the calendar, but hey, we're not planning things on Sunday. You're going to go on vacation. I mean, obvious things like this, but we're not going to fill our Sundays and our weekends up with stuff because we're going to be committed to what God has for us on Sunday. People say to me all the time, well, Pastor, is it okay if I go hunting on Sunday? Is it okay if I go fishing on Sunday, Pastor? Pastor, is it okay if I stay home because the Cowboys are playing at noon this Sunday? Pastor, do you think it'd be okay? I had a long week at work if I just didn't come this week. Hey, you're asking the wrong person. You need to ask God. This is his day. It's not my day. This is the Lord's day. Like, there has to be a time in your life when you just say, you know what? I'm going to give that day to the Lord. Not because it's easy, but because it's prudent. See, the bottom line is people won't change simply because they won't start. Albert Einstein said, the measure of intelligence is the ability to change. Jack Welch said, if it's better to change before you have to. That's a good one. Roy T. Bennett said, if you want to fly, you have to give up what weighs you down. George Bernard Shaw said, those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. Yeah, but what does the Bible say about change? Well, I'm glad you asked. I don't have enough time to go through a bunch of scripture with you, but let me hit some highlights. You'll recognize these people and their stories. The Bible's full of change. Abraham had to change his whole country, his citizenship, his residency. Jacob had to change his name. Joseph had to change all of Egypt to save that country and his family and many millions of others from famine. Moses had to change his profession late in life. He was tending those goats when God said, go back to Egypt and set my people free. Nehemiah had to change the skyline of a city and a landscape of a culture that was corrupted. Jonah had to change his direction so God could change Nineveh. Esther had to change what was going on inside of her life because God needed to use her to change the course of a nation. The prophet Jeremiah and Isaiah, many of the other prophets in the Bible, all were out there trying to change people's attitudes and minds about God. You remember Joseph, the father of Jesus? What was he going to do to Mary? He was going to divorce her when he found out she was pregnant. He had to change his mind and his heart on that. He had to change, think about this man, that man right there had to change his entire life to accommodate God's plan for the world. Wasn't his fault. Wasn't his plan, probably didn't fit into his 10, 15 year plan he had for his life. He had to change everything to accommodate God's plan. Peter was a fisherman. Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. There was some change involved in that. Matthew was a greedy tax collector. He was transformed into a gracious and generous disciple of Jesus. Every single one of the disciples, every single one of them had to change so God could use them to change the world. Paul was persecuting the church long before he was planting them. There was a lot of change that took place in his life. And what about Jesus? Well, Jesus came into the world to change the whole thing, to transform and restore all of us so we could be redeemed and made holy. The Bible's full of change. If the Bible's about anything, it's about people who changed, were changed, and at some point had to take the very first step to change. See, change isn't easy, but I tell you this, it's impossible if you never get started. And most people don't change simply because they don't start. But the prudent, well, they're willing to change. Seek the prudent path or you will walk a painful path. Number two, second reason why most people don't change is to change, you have to sacrifice something. Changing almost always means you have to give something up. No more soda and fried chicken for you, fat boy. If you want to change, you're going to have to give it up. You want to change your financial position, you're going to have to cut those credit cards up. You're going to have to live within your means. No more new cars for you for a long, long time. No more lavish vacations. You're going down to the Atascosa River. That's what you're going to do for vacation next year, right? You're camping in the backyard. You can't afford to do anything else if you're going to change. Premarital sex, it's got to stop. You're going to have to sacrifice it, put it away. It's not God's plan for you right now. You shouldn't be doing it. Maybe it's giving up watching the news 5 or 6 or 7 hours a day and reading your Bible for 30 minutes instead. Maybe you're going to have to sacrifice some time at work and maybe even making money at work or getting a promotion at work so you can actually spend time with your family who needs you, who you aren't going to have if you stay on the path you're on right now at work. See, making a change or pivoting always requires that you sacrifice something. Every single one of those people I mentioned before from the Bible, every single one of them had to make huge sacrifices. Some of them, including Jesus, gave their lives as a part of change that God called them to lead. See, this is why change is hard, and it's why only the prudent pursue it. We don't want to change. You want to know why? If we're just being honest, it's because we're selfish people. And if it requires sacrifice, then we're not interested. But it's going to require it if you're going to really change. And then here's the third reason why most people don't change. When you change something, anything, when you pivot, you're going to suffer. In some way, you're going to suffer. Sacrifice almost always leads to suffering. Sometimes the suffering is just the embarrassment of admitting you were wrong. Sometimes the suffering is just the embarrassment of having to admit to your friends and family that you're changing because you realize the path you were on was a bad path. Even though you've spent the previous 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years defending that path and talking about what a good one it was. Right? When we make prudent pivots in our life, people notice. And we're going to have to explain why we've changed. And part of that's going to be saying, I was wrong. The pivot initially almost always brings about some sort of pain. The prudent are willing to endure it because they know in the end that changing their direction now and getting on a new path now is going to give them a great future later. And they're willing to endure the pain because they understand that if they can just get through the pain, the future later is going to be so much better. That it might be painful today, but the promise of a better future, that helps them endure whatever the suffering and sacrifice is. They don't change because it's easy. Nobody gets up and says, I'm going to lose 40 pounds because it's easy. Nobody gets up and says, I'm going to get out of debt because it's easy. Nobody gets up and says, I'm going to have the best marriage ever because it's easy. They do it because they know they must to walk the path God has for them. And that change always produces some kind of suffering at the onset. And that's why only the prudent pursue it. Proverbs 27:12, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple, they go on and suffer for it. You see, what most people forget or don't want to admit is this: one way or another, everyone suffers. Can I say it again? One way or another, everyone suffers. The prudent suffer while they change. The simple suffer because they don't change. But one way or another, you're going to suffer. Now, you may not suffer today if you choose not to change, but the path you're on is going to lead you to pain and suffering. It's going to lead you to a place you don't want to go. And it's why I keep telling you, you have to seek the prudent path, or you will walk an even more painful path. The person to walk the most pure and prudent path ever was Jesus. Started in a manger, it progressed into a life of great sacrifice. He didn't even have a pillow to lay his head on. He didn't have a home to call his own. The sacrifices that Jesus endured in his 3 years of ministry are almost unthinkable to us. But they don't even compare to the unimaginable suffering that came at the end of his life as he died on the cross for your sins and mine. He did that so I could live, so you could live, so I could be forgiven, so you could be forgiven. He did it all for you. He didn't do it because it was easy. It wasn't like, oh, that cross thing, that looks real simple. That was a fun way to spend the afternoon. I think I'll go and try that out. No. Agony, suffering, and pain. But he did it because he knew you and I would never be able to create a path that would get us to God. And so he said, I'm going to forge this path for you. I'm going to go there and die a death for you. I'm going to shed my blood for you. So your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so eternity can be yours, so you can be with our Father in heaven forever. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He's the one who made the path. Romans says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we'll be saved this very day, this very hour. That's only possible because Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. It's not possible because of your works or your money or your good looks or anything else. It's possible because of Jesus. And the prudent can see that their sins, without being washed away, without being forgiven, are going to lead them to a place of pain. So are you going to make Jesus the Lord of your life? That's not going to be easy. It's going to require sacrifice. There might even initially be some suffering. Are you going to do that because the future is so much better? Or are you going to keep walking your own path? And when you get to the end of that, end up in a place without God and without Jesus for all eternity. The prudent know what to do.
The message you heard today was just one from a series that's sure to bring you to a place of thinking and processing what you listen to. As Pastor Pete taught through the Bible in a meaningful way, what are some things that you noticed or that you gained like never before? Would you let us know? You can get in touch with Pastor Pete by going to onetoanotherradio.org and selecting the About tab. From there, click on Contact and send him a quick note of what you're learning from the Bible and what God's teaching you from these messages. Another way to connect with One to Another is in our podcast format. Gwen has more on that.
Does your lifestyle work best by listening to teachings through a podcast? It's no wonder, because then you don't have to worry about missing a single episode. Subscribing to the podcast allows you to go back and listen to past shows, as well as listen to a teaching again that really hit you in a personal way. Podcasts are also really easy to share with others, like friends or family, coworkers, or neighborhood acquaintances. There are easy opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with those you're around and for lives to be changed by the truth of God and His Word. So search in your favorite podcast platform and find One to Another Radio. Simply hit the follow or subscribe button and you're good to go. If you'd like to find out more info about the podcast or any other resources available to you, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Here's Phil as he wraps things up for us today.
Thanks for that information, Gwen. We've been excited to see the interest that our listeners have taken in this radio program. If you'd like for us to continue staying on the air, we'd love to have your continued support in prayer as well as in a financial way to further the ministry that's happening. Just go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more about how to give. And if you're a first-time supporter this month, we'll send you a free gift. That's onetoanotherradio.org and find the Donate tab. If you'd like to get in touch with us over the phone, we'd be happy to talk to you. Our number is 830-769-3733. That number one more time is 830-769-3733. We're looking forward to what Pastor Pete plans to share with us next time as we continue on in this series. Come join us and be encouraged by what God's doing in your heart and life. We'll continue on this path that God's leading us on next time on One to Another.